Good evening, listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Across the Line here on Tip FM with myself, Paul Carroll, on this Friday, the 22nd of March, 2024. As always on the show, we've plenty to look forward to, and this weekend is no different. A massive game on Sunday at 4 o'clock in Portlaoise, Tipperary versus Clare in the National Hurling League semi-final. We'll be looking ahead to that game in just a few moments' time. Also going to be speaking to Tipperary football selector Paul Fitzgerald about Tipperary's disappointing league campaign so far, and as they look to a positive finish to the league when they take on Leitrim on Sunday. We're also going to be talking to Geraldine Canan about the Tipperary Junior Camogie team. They have a league final on Saturday up in Abbottstown against Cork. Also, the Tip Seniors have a big game against Kilkenny. Looking forward to both of those games with Geraldine Canan later in the show. Sean O'Keefe, the Clonmel professional boxer who improved her record to 2-0 last weekend, is the feature on The Sporting Edge. A really interesting chat with Shauna coming up later in the show. And as always, to finish off, we have Greyhound Racing with Barry Drake. So really busy show across the next 60 minutes or so. So beginning with the game we have live on air on Sunday, of course, Tipperary versus Clare. We'll have live commentary here on Tip FM with thanks to Aurier in Tipperary. And just yesterday, the Munster Championship was launched down in the Care House Hotel, and it was a well-run event, so fair play to Ed Donnelly there, the Munster GAA PRO, and also Caitlin Donnelly as well. It was a well-run event. We had Ronan Maher there and TJ Ryan from a Tipperary hurling point of view, so we'll just get a little bit of audio from my chat with Ronan Maher, where I was asking him about Sunday's game versus Clare.
Yeah, like you said, we've a lot of new players and a lot of lads have been used, 38 players I think it was, so it's been good variety in all our teams and good competition as well, and it's great. Take great learnings from it as a squad and as a team going forward for the championship, but it's great to see some new faces in as well, and you know, it's like I said, it's good preparation. Matches are a great way of learning for going into a really, really competitive Munster championship. But today it's been okay, and there's been some positives and some negatives as well. Like, so Sunday I'm sure there'll be a few more after as well. But great to look forward to a league semi-final, and it'll be a tough one I'm sure in Portlaoise.
Does it kind of ramp up a little bit more in a league semi-final, let's say, compared to just a normal league game?
Yeah, sure. Naturally enough, a semi-final is going to be that bit more competitive, and it's nothing to be shying away from. And I suppose when you put on the blue and gold jersey, you're always going out with that responsibility and expectation of winning. So it'll be no different on Sunday.
The league medal is a medal that has eluded, I think, everyone on the panel now. I don't know if anyone was on the 2008 panel. That's obviously a big motivation anyway for the squad.
Yeah, it's always in the back of your mind, I suppose. 2008 is a long time ago, and Tip last won it. So it'd be nice to win a national league. It's not to do all and end all if you don't, but it is always playing in the back of your mind.
Tipperary captain Ronan Maher there speaking to myself just yesterday, and we'll be hearing more from that conversation. We talk about the Munster Championship. We'll be hearing more from that in the show in the next couple of weeks. Also yesterday in Care House Hotel at the launch, we spoke to TJ Ryan, Tipperary hurling selector, of course. So let's hear a bit of that conversation now.
So TJ, league semi-final this weekend, I suppose first goal of the year is probably ticked off. It's probably been a productive league campaign so far.
Yeah, we're very happy anyway, like, to get an extra game, because we've actually a 3-week break from, you know, the end of the league to the championship, which is a long time to wait. So the extra game is powerful, like, to get it. And Clare are going well.
The league so far, I think, is it 38 players Tip have used, so yeah. It's been a very beneficial league, I suppose, for yourselves, being able to have a look at different players and that sort of thing. So you must be very happy with how it's gone.
Yeah, we're very happy, you know, to qualify after using 38 players in the different games. And, like, fellas are getting a bit of game time. Do you know, an experience, you can't beat it. Like, playing a game and getting used to playing with more senior players, some of the younger fellas. Which, like, Sunday now, I'm looking forward to this game with Clare. It'll be a big test.
Like, the league itself, you know, sometimes there's elements of, you know, there is a lot of experimentation going on, and it's not played at the temperature of a Munster Championship game, let's say, but here it is, the league semi-final now, and suddenly you're only kind of 70 minutes away from a national final. You'd imagine the temperature and the quality and the pace of everything kind of ramps up a little bit now.
Well, sure, hopefully now, like, that we're able to take it on Sunday in Portlaoise, and hopefully we might come out the right side of it. You know, you might be lucky to get an extra game. But Clare, I saw their game against Kilkenny now, they look very good. You know, excellent. We played Clare in a challenge game earlier in Nina, but it was a game of four quarters.
On a very wet day.
On a four quarters, absolutely brutal. you'd even get wet in the cover stand. But the worst thing I see at the moment, Holland, is the conditions of the pitches for training.
This year has been particularly poor. Has that made, like, you know, preparations? I'm sure Dr. Myers Park is probably overrun with teams training on it at the minute, and it's probably made elements of just training difficult at the minute.
It's hard, actually, you're training away in it, but conditions that the players are training in, like, is horrendous.
Yeah.
You know, some nights there it was just lashing rain, and underfoot you're plodding through water on top of the ground, like muck as well. Like, it's tough going.
Yeah.
Maybe it might stand us.
Yeah, yeah, and we're kind of all hoping for it to eventually turn and feels harden up a bit, but hopefully in due time. But Clare this weekend now on in O'Moore Park, which is probably a factor of the weather we're having, that it's on in O'Moore Park. But like, it's a league semi-final. I'd say everyone in the squad hasn't a league medal. I think 2008 was the last time Tip has won it. So I'd imagine for management and players, it's a big carrot there to try and get to a league final.
Definitely. Look, we're not going all out, say we want to win a league final. We'd love to get there. We'd like to win a league semi-final and get to the final if we can. Take every game and hopefully, like, that we'll get more out of it. That'd be just absolutely brilliant. And fellas are getting game time as well, players. That's the main thing.
Mm.
You know, getting games into them, which is huge.
Yeah, and there's been lots of new names in this year and players playing in different positions. Conor Bowe have gone back to the backs. Ronan has dropped back a line and different things like that. So it's allowed you to probably find out a bit more about your team, and you're probably in a better place now after the five league games than you were beforehand in terms of the way the team lines out.
Yeah, definitely. Like, when you win and you're qualified for a semi-final, a competition, it gives the players too a bit of belief. Do you know, they get more used to playing with one another. Mm. And you said about Conor going back, wing back. He plays centre back for his club, Mayan Temple too. He. Mm. Ronan was played full back for Tipper 19. So it's not new to any of them, like, to be playing in those positions. But like, to get the right brand of player on the pitch, what you want, and get him to develop, is huge for us. And I think myself, like, they're getting loads of experience so far in this league.
Great to speak to TJ Ryan there in the Kerr House Hotel yesterday, looking ahead to Sunday's game between Tipperary and Clare. And as I mentioned, the game is live here on Tip FM from 4 o'clock on Sunday, with thanks to REA agents in Tipperary. And the man who's going to be joining me on commentary duty on Sunday is Ken Hogan. And I'm delighted to say Ken joins me on the line now, looking ahead to Sunday's game. Ken, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Ken, it's a league semi-final now for Tipperary. What's your kind of thoughts going into this game? Like, do you often hear things around league semi-finals and, you know, do they want to get to a final, all that kind of talk? But I'd imagine for this Tipperary team and for Liam Cahill and co, they'll be going all out here on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, I'd say without a shadow of a doubt, Paul, league semi-finals are there to be won. Shamie Callan is now retired, so none of these players have a National League medal in their back pocket. Plus the fact we played Antrim in Belfast. Obviously, in a sense, it was a game that just had to be won. I think we'll feel something close to full strength, I would predict, for the weekend. Playing Clare, our old rivals, is going to be an important game for both teams. Clare played Offaly with a second string team, so they rested most of their players for the Offaly League game. So I'm sure Clare will field their strongest team possible as well. So it's going to be an interesting game. I think, considering Tip are not out in the Munster Championship, you know, in the first round, I think it's a chance for Tip, give them a bit of breathing space, to really have a cut at this league title.
And the fact that, you know, Tip aren't playing Clare, I think, until the last round of the Munster Championship in late May, so that game is still over 2 months away. So, you know, if they were playing in the first round of the league, the kind of talk would be around, oh, are they going to show their full hand here and all that? But the fact that that's going to be, that game is so far away from right now, you'd imagine it kind of gives the both managers that kind of a bit more freedom to kind of express their true talent in the team, really, come Sunday.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, there is a lot of talk about there now, even this morning on the news lines, about Clare and Limerick meeting in the Munster final, in the Munster Championship game, maybe a week or 2 weeks after playing in a league final. So I think that gives Tipper a huge incentive to upset the apple cart there, from the point of view of the fact that Tipper have a great incentive to reach the league final, and people are presuming that, you know, that Limerick will be in the league final, but Kilkenny will have a big say in that as well. So I would predict a very competitive semi-final. No game against Clare is non-competitive, Paul. We've seen that in the past. I think Brian Logan as well has been, on the scene for 3 or 4 years now with Clare, and he would be interested in picking up silverware as well. And I think that adds to, the real competitiveness of the game. And I think Tip need to find out their real team as well. And basically, we're a month away from championship, so they need this game badly. And I think they also need to play in a league final and have that 2 or 3 weeks then break to recharge and get ready for the big stuff in the championship.
Yeah, it's a very good point, because Tip not out until I think it's the 28th of April, so it's still a long time away. Yes, good 5 weeks away. So if we had no match between this Sunday and the 28th of April, it wouldn't be ideal. So, are you confident here Tip can get the job done on Sunday?
Yeah, I think you need to stand up, Paul. Put our names there in the frame for honours this year, and I think people should not shun a league final appearance. I think it's something that every player wants to do, is to play in a national final. Plus the fact that it'll be played at a major ground, so it'll be either probably Croke Park or Cork or somewhere like that. So I think from that perspective, Tip will want those big days out. We have a number of players that maybe having that big time experience, and I think to play at that level, I think, in Port Leash there'll be a good turnout. There'll be a big Tip turnout in Port Leash considering the geographical location. And I think it's a huge incentive for us to do well. And I think it's also, to be fair, Clare will be really out probably to make inroads as well. They need medals in their back pockets as well. So I'm predicting a right game here on Sunday. I think it's going to be ultra competitive, and I don't see a Clare Limerick League final. I hope that it could be a Tipperary team lining out on League Final Day on the 6th, 7th of April.
Brilliant stuff, Ken. We look forward to the game on Sunday, and look forward to doing commentary with yourself come Sunday afternoon. Thanks for joining us on Across the Line, Ken.
Looking forward to it, Paul.
Now we're going to take our first ad break of the evening, but we are going to be continuing our talk on GAA after these. And you're very welcome back to part two of Across the Line here on Tip FM with myself, Paul Carlin, this Friday, the 22nd of March, 2024. Now we're going to continue our GAA talk. And yesterday at the launch of the Munster Championships, Paul Fitzgerald was there from a Tipperary football point of view. Of course, the Fettered Man is a selector with Tipperary this year. And let's hear some of that conversation now. We spoke about the disappointment in the Tips Division 4 league campaign to date. But we also looked ahead to Sunday's game against Leitrim up in Carrick-on-Shannon. That one throws in at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. So let's hear from my conversation with Paul Fitzgerald.
So Paul, it's Leitrim this weekend in the league. It's the last of what's been a disappointing and I imagine frustrating league campaign for yourself so far. What have you kind of made of it all so far? There's been a lot of kind of close games that you've come out on the wrong side of. I'd imagine it has been kind of a frustrating time.
Yeah, a little bit frustrating, obviously. Yeah, we felt, with the exception of the Wexford game, of course, we were really competitive. Last two games narrowly, won a narrow game, really tough battle in Longford, and then two draws, which were disappointing. But saying that, it's been a positive enough start. We've looked at a lot of players from day one. We've had a few injuries coming into the start from last year. Three leaders of the group, like with Connor and Mark Russell, and then adding to that with Stephen, who was injured in the Longford game. So, that's been a challenge when you're missing those real on-field leaders in games. And look, the nature of the National League, it's a savage competitive schedule, like with 7 games in 9 weeks. And that can take its toll on the bodies and take its toll on the panel. But in general, it's been positive. I know we haven't got the results we'd like, and we're not in the run for promotion. But I think this thing will take a bit of time. And I feel to be competitive in Division 3, you have to be ready for Division 3. And maybe we just need a little bit more time to get to that level.
Mm. And is it? What's kind of the mood in the camp like? Because there is a lot of new players in there, and you kind of want that success with young lads to kind of get the confidence kind of high. What's it like in there? Is it hard to keep lads' kind of spirits high, let's say, with how it's gone the last couple of games?
No, things have been positive, and like I said, we've I think 16 new guys onto the panel, and they brought in a freshness, and they're mad to learn and mad for road. It's important then that the older guys, the more experienced guys, drive that thing for them and for all of us. And we've obviously been missing that leadership maybe in a lot of games. But hopefully we get a few guys back off the injury list soon. And, you know, it's a new... When the league finishes, a new competition to look forward to the Munster Championship. And you've it's coming up pretty quick, so you don't have too much time to be looking for excuses and things like that. So you just have to learn from what we've learned in the league and draw a line through it and move on and get ready for the next game.
And like looking at the league games, is there anything you management is kind of looking at, like we're not doing that as well as we could, like is there something that kind of stands out that you're looking at that this is the kind of thing we need to improve on more than other things? That's
not so much one particular thing or two particular things or anything like that. It's you know, we're trying to play a good style of football, you know, an attacking style of football without being naive and leaving ourselves, you know, open to scores at the back. But it's getting the balance right there. You don't want to be ultra defensive. You don't want to be naive and push everyone forward. And that will take time to develop a certain style that suits the personnel we have, you know. And you know, the like I said, the nature of the league, it's a grueling schedule, and you're always going to pick up knocks here and there. Like I said, hopefully we get a few guys back, and the new guys will continue to learn, and the more experienced guys will continue to drive it, because that's important. So yeah,
it is a grueling schedule, and it's not made easier when you're going down switching pitches last Saturday, kind of messy, then back to Federer. But it's up to Carrick and Shannon on Sunday. You know, they have something to play for. We don't at the minute. But what's kind of the mindset going up to Leitrim now for Sunday?
Yeah, look, like last weekend was frustrating and mentally it took its toll on the players, I think, as well, and everybody. We travelled to Wexford and the games were called off in two different venues, and we headed to Federer on the Sunday, and you're coming up against a team as Leitrim will be fighting for promotion, and Wexford were fighting for their scoring difference as well, and they made a fair dent in that. So but look, we obviously we have a game, and it's another game to prepare for the championship against Waterford. It won't be easy in Carrick and Shannon, you know, like I said, they're fighting for promotion and they'll be throwing everything at us. So it'll be a good test for our boys mentally and physically, and they're looking forward to it, you know. A good competitive game, can't be sniffed at like that. So it'll be a tough ask, but we'll be going to try and win it.
That was Tipperary selector Paul Fitzgerald there speaking to me yesterday ahead of Sunday's game between Tipperary and Leitrim. 1 o'clock throw-in time up in Carrick on Shannon. We wish the Tipperary team the very best of luck. Now, the Tipperary Camogie teams have a very busy weekend. We have the seniors, the juniors and the minors all in action over the course of the next 2 days. And to look ahead to all those games, I'm joined on the line by Tipperary Camogie PRO Geraldine Canan. Geraldine, very welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Paul.
Busy weekend as always, Geraldine, but especially this weekend, we've all three Tipperary teams in action, the seniors, juniors and the minors in action. We'll start with what's probably the biggest game of the weekend because there's silverware on the line. It's the Tip Juniors. They take on Cork at 2 p.m. on Saturday. It's the Division 2B League Final. The first thing you notice about this game is it's up in Abbottstown, and Tip versus Cork, it's a bit of a strange venue for this game to be taking place in.
Yeah, and I suppose we were kind of waiting, you know, it was midweek before we got the venue. Obviously, you know, the Camogie Association were finding it hard to get a suitable venue. And look, you know, I suppose it's not ideal, but at the same time, you know, going up to Abbottstown, you're going to have a good pitch and good facilities and a good setup. But look, I suppose it's not ideal for either counties. But look, it is what it is. We know the venue, and we'd be hoping, you know, a good Tip crowd would still travel to it and, you know, give this team all their support.
Yeah, hopefully it's not the last time this team are on the road up to Dublin anyway for a big game. But Tip lost to Cork in the first round of the league in this grade, just by 4 points though, which was a big improvement on last year's result against Cork. So I reckon Bill Mullaney and the team will kind of fancy having a crack at this one.
Yeah, I think they're in a great position. Like you said, they lost to Cork in the opening round, but they learned loads from that game. And they, you know, they've had players come back down from the senior squad since. He's had the three wins in a row over Clare, Wexford and Galway, and then a draw with Kilkenny. And, you know, I think what I noticed in those games is, you know, the character of the team, you know, I thought was really positive. Look, there was, you know, especially against Galway, the conditions and everything were dreadful. And, you know, but still girls were determined, full of grit. And there's a great kind of camaraderie there in this group already early in the year. And that's what I like about, like, the hurling, the touch, the fitness can all improve as the year goes on. But, you know, there's definitely a bit of a bite in this group, and they're a great team to support. And, you know, just given it their all so far, I suppose it's hard to know what kind of Cork team, you know, expecting a much changed side from that first game out. It was the first game under new management like that. They've had a lot of chopping and changing in the squad. Some players have gone up and some players have come back down. And but look, Cork, as you know, have a serious conveyor belt of talent the whole time with minors and under-16s and All-Irelands. It's probably a kind of a younger team, a younger Cork team than the Tip team, but Tip are from serious experience as well, and likes Jenny Grace and Sinead Maher, who've been there before and won league titles, you know, with Tip Intermediate before. So, you know, I think that will definitely stand to them on Saturday.
Yeah, really looking forward to that one. And as I said, hopefully not the last we see of this Tip Junior team heading up to Dublin for a big game. But another big game that's happening on Saturday, Tip against Kilkenny in the Senior Division 1 League. Tipperary are one of four teams on 6 points, and it's just top two to a league final as far as I'm aware. So Kilkenny only on 3 points after two games. So this is a pretty much a must win for Tip if they want to get into a league final.
Yeah, definitely, and I suppose they've had two good wins now over Galway, and then to go down to Cork and get a win was brilliant, but they have to really back it up now on Saturday against Kilkenny. This game is in Nolan Park. Played them last year in the league and lost, you know, a close game. Played them in the Championship and came away with a draw that maybe we could have won. So we haven't really had the best of results against Kilkenny in kind of tight games. They seem to be able to kind of... you know, dig out a win and stuff like that. But look, the girls were very impressive 2 weeks ago against Cork, and I'm sure, like, again, they've been improving every time. So hopefully, you know, look, Kilkenny, like you said, haven't been going great, have had a few losses, but under new management as well. But look, the last thing you get is anything soft or easy off Kilkenny, and I'm expecting a real tough battle on Saturday. But hopefully, you know, our girls have a bit more to play for, and that will be the difference on Saturday.
Yeah, that one, as Geraldine said, is in Nolan Park, 2 o'clock on Saturday. Sunday, then, we have the Tipperary Miners up against Antrim. They're looking to make it 3 from 3 so far in that championship. Going very well this year, our John Ryan side. That one's up in Armagh at 2 o'clock on Sunday. So we wish them the very best of luck as well. Geraldine Cannan, as always, thanks for joining us on Across the Line.
Thanks very much, Paul.
Always great to have Geraldine Cannan on previewing the weekend's Camogie action. The very best of luck to all three of those Tipperary teams taking part this weekend. Now, we also have plenty of other sport happening around the Premier County this weekend, but probably none bigger than Nina Ormond have a chance to secure the Division 2A title in the AIL Rugby tomorrow afternoon. They're away to Navan, and they know that a bonus point win will secure the Division 2A title for Nina Ormond and guarantee them a place in Division 1B next year. So we wish them all the very best luck. Cashel can confirm their place in the playoffs in the same division. They are at home to Greystones tomorrow in Spafield. Then in Division 2C, Clonmel, they're safe from relegation. They're probably going to be destined for middle of the pack in this year's Division 2C. They are on the road up against second placed Galwegians. All three of those games tomorrow at 2:30 in the AIL. Very best of luck to all involved there. Ladies footballers, the Tip Ladies Footballers League campaign comes to an end on Sunday at 1 o'clock in Feathertown Park. They take on Donegal. We wish them all the very best of luck. Three wins and three losses in their league campaign so far. All three of their losses just coming by a single point. So a very frustrating, I'm sure, campaign for Peter Creedon's side there, but they'll look to end it on a high come Sunday. Then in terms of soccer in the NTNDL, the Premier League title race is going to be a really tight one at the north of the county. We've two games taking place on Sunday. Third placed Ard Crony, they look to keep up the pace with BT Harps and Barway Rovers. They're hosting bottom side Clodagh Rangers, and our Rovers are at home to Rare Cross. They're both on at 11 a.m. South of the county then, in the TSDL Premier Division, there's three games on Sunday at 12 noon. Wilderness host Banshee Celtic, and Kerr Park travel to Clonmel Celtic. Then at 3 o'clock, Tiptown host 2 Mile Burris. So a very busy weekend of sport across the Premier County this weekend. Now we're just going to take a quick ad break, and after the ad break we're going to be speaking to Clonmel professional boxer Sean O'Keefe. It's a chat you don't want to miss. It's coming up just after these. And you're very welcome back to the third and final part of Across the Line here on Tip FM with myself, Paul Carroll, on this Friday, the 22nd of March, 2024. Now, as always, at this time of a Friday evening, we have our weekly feature, The Sporting Edge, where we talk to a different Tipperary sports person about their journey through their sport and what's to come. Last week, we spoke with Feathered's Dorothy Wall, and she starts for the Ireland women's rugby team tomorrow. They take on France at 2:15 over in Le Mans, and we wish her and her teammates the very best of luck. That's Ireland against France. This week, our attention turns to boxing, and last weekend, Shauna O'Keefe improved her professional boxing record to 2-0, and I caught up with Shauna a little bit earlier in the week about her incredible journey through the sport. Well worth the listen. This week's edition of The Sporting Edge is Shauna O'Keefe.
The Sporting Edge on Tip FM, funded by Commission Na Mban with the television licence fee. Tipperary's Tip
FM. Now, I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by professional boxer and Clonmel native Shauna O'Keefe. Shauna, great to have you on.
Thanks so much. How are you?
All good, Shauna. Yeah, first of all, just big congratulations. You moved your professional record up to 2-0 over the weekend with a knockout victory in Salt Hill. Before we kind of get the conversation properly started, it's probably just a great feeling probably after going 2-0 and in a fairly spectacular fashion.
Yeah, it definitely is. I believe it was a punch perfect performance. The game plan myself and Kevin had laid out from the get go. I stuck to it, literally punch for punch, and to finish with a knockout. And it's something that I wanted to do since September. It literally dreams come true.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. And just on that feeling of even kind of getting a knockout, I remember listening to other fighters down through the years, and Chuck Liddell, a former UFC fighter, comes to mind, that when he would knock someone out, he would let out such emotion, and his celebrations would be huge, just because it was such a big relief for him, just that outpouring of emotion when you do win a fight like that. What was that kind of moment like for you when you knew that you had the fight won?
So obviously when the knockout happened, I ran to my white corner and I looked at Kevin, and obviously we just kept our composure and kept our cool, because I really needed to make sure she was okay. And I didn't want to be standing in the corner jumping around like a raving lunatic while she's still lying on the floor not knowing what's happening, because we did get a small bit of a fright because she took so long to get off the canvas. But I can tell you now, once she got off the canvas, oh my God, I jumped up in the ropes, did a massive roar out to the crowd. It was like, oh, I actually couldn't contain the excitement. I leapt around the ring. I did my big roars. But it wasn't only that. So my best friend, Dan O'Conroy, got killed in a car accident 10 years ago, the Saturday night. So it would have been just going into Paddy's Day morning.
Wow.
And his favourite number was number 3. And me and my brother were the closest ones with him. Me and my two brothers, sorry. And my brother Cricky said it to me. He was like, wouldn't it be unbelievable on Dano's anniversary if he'd got a knockout, like a clean knockout in the third round, because number 3 was his favourite number. And we spoke about it that Saturday morning. And obviously with all this build-up and all the hype, it completely went out of my head. And then when I was in the corner, it was like, your man called out. It was a minute and 26 seconds of the third round. I was like, oh my God, it's the third round. And then I just looked up, like, I drew a cross on my body, and I literally looked up and I was like, yeah, that's Dano. I was like, Dano was with me. So that's where the epic, even more epic celebration came in. It was like a celebration of his life.
Yeah,
so,
unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a spectacular moment for me, to be honest.
Yeah, no, that's just brilliant here. And you can really kind of, I can only imagine the emotion with that. But that's where you're at now in your boxing life. You're 2-0 as a professional, but if we kind of rewind things back, you had kind of a long amateur career as well. But when did you kind of first get into the sport growing up down in Clonmel?
So I started boxing when I was 14, but I was up in the club since the age of 12. My brother Cricky did it years ago, and my brother Stephen then did it. So I used to go and watch all of his fights, and I loved watching it. But back then, women boxing was so unheard of. Like, there was one woman in the club, which was Chelsea Burke at the time. And then I started first year, and a friend of mine in first year in my class started the Monday. And then that Wednesday night, I went up with her and I met Martin. And yeah, I literally never went back from that moment. I literally took to it like a duck to water. I did all the extra training. And I progressed really quickly. Like, I won my first All Ireland and I was only in the club like 4 months.
Wow.
So, yeah, my career literally took off so well. I won absolutely everything. Within the first 3 years, I won 3 Irish titles and I represented Ireland in the Europeans and the Worlds from the age of 13, from the age of 14 to 16. Like, so, it took off really, really quickly. But from the age of 14 to 20, if you say 29, there's 8 years. There was an 8-year gap where I didn't fight, unfortunately. So from the age of 18 to 20, I did get injured, unfortunately. So I had to take time out there. And then when I came back, when I was 22, then I suffered a loss against Kelly Harrington and got bent in a split decision. And it was either stay in the amateur game and be a sparring partner to Kelly and obviously get no money and get no recognition, or leave and find a career. And I ended up finding a career and opening a gym, and I became a personal trainer. And that's what I did for over 6 years before I came back boxing last year.
Wow, geez, that's an amazing story. So you mentioned there, like, the brilliant kind of pedigree in the underage scene and getting up to the adult level. You fought the likes of Kelly Harrington, as you mentioned there, and Katie Taylor and things like that. So you're in there with the very best of them, and split decision loss to someone who won a gold medal. Like, so that will tell you the kind of the level. But you ended up stepping away from the sport for, what you said, about 6 years?
Just over 6 years. So I stopped in when I was 22 and I came back 28. So it was just over 6 years, yeah.
And in that period, were you thinking, someday I will go back, someday I won't? Had you completely left the sport behind you? Or kind of what? How did you come to the decision maybe to even get back into it?
I'm not going to lie, for 5 whole years, I was like, no, my career is done. I'm never going to get back, because a fighter getting back after that long stint out of the ring is very, very unheard of, because, you know, it's such a hard competitive game. You're missing for 5 years while everybody is constantly chipping away at they're constantly getting better. And I wasn't. I was lifting weights. I was just, and I wasn't even doing any cardio. All I did was lift weights because I was a personal trainer and that's what I loved doing. But I ended up moving to Dublin, and in 2021 I managed the gym for a year, and I ended up going back doing like boxing classes. And mind you, I was paying 1-to-1 to go do this boxing class for €20, and I'm like, what am I doing? I know what I'm doing. Like, but that's kind of what gave me the, it reminded me of how good I was, because, like, for the years that I didn't box, I never told anybody when I met them that I used to fight. Or it's people that had to, like, look me up and realize, like, what I've done in my career, because I always felt like I was a fraud to talk about my boxing because I wasn't doing it in that time. So I literally, when I didn't box, I packed it. It was like, I'm Sean O'Keefe now. Sean O'Keefe, the personal trainer. Sean O'Keefe, the boxer, is in the past.
Yeah.
Do you get me? So then I found the love for it again. And then obviously Kelly and Amy were taking off. They were winning medals to beat the band. And I bet Amy, and I only got beaten a split decision by Kelly. So I think it's like, I was subconsciously always thinking about what they were doing, and it was always telling me if they could do it, then I could do it. So then, yeah, I ended up moving back from Dublin, and I started a new job October the 3rd, 2022, and that same night I went back up to the club, and I was 78 kilos. I made a vow to myself there and then, and to Martin, I was like, I'm back. I'm not going to miss a training session. I'll train twice a day every day as well as hold down my job. I want to go to the All-Irelands, and I'm going to win the All-Irelands. And they laughed at me. I'm not even lying to you. They laughed at me. They were like, not a hope. They were like, Sean, all right, we'll just send you into the All-Irelands and we'll see what happens. Just kind of get fights for you. But I came back, I trained twice a day every day. I got down from 78 kilos to 63 kilos for the All-Irelands in January.
And from October to January?
Yes, I'm not joking yet. And then they still didn't even believe I'd do it. And I went in and I did literally the unthinkable, and I won the Elite after only being back 4 months, after a 6-year stint out the window. And then it had kind of that ripple effect. I literally went from one win to the next win. I got called up to the Irish team after that. I boxed in Felix Dam, won a gold medal, beating 2 very good girls, one of them being an English girl that was really high rated. And then 2 weeks later, won another gold medal in Haringey Box Cup, beating 2 very good girls as well. And then, I moved to Belfast, trained with a coach, and then got the call to move to Kevin. And Kevin became my full-time coach, and I turned over. And that was all in the space of 8 months.
Wow, life comes at you very, very quick, and that's an incredible story. Like, wow, just the time off and then such the quick turnaround from coming back. And when you came back, did you feel rusty at all? Well, probably clearly not if it was back to winning All-Irelands after 4 months.
I'm telling you now, it was the hardest time of my life. After 6 weeks, I cried to my coach, John Mackey, and was like, I'm not cut out for this. I'm not able for this. I was shocking. When I say, there was a girl that I sparred a few years before. So before I stopped boxing, and I used to beat the crap out of her, right? And I came back, and for 3 months, that girl humbled me. She bet the crap out of me. Now, when I say she bet the crap out of me, she bet the crap out of me.
Yeah.
But it took me just constant resilience and constant fighting with myself to stay in it. Something's going to click, Shauna. You're going to keep doing it. The easiest option would be to quit. The easiest option would be to quit. And I'd never go for the easiest option. I'm one of these. I'm so stubborn. And then 2 weeks before the All-Ireland, something clicked. Shauna became back the fighter that she was. And, yeah, I listened to Martin more and more and more. And then my boxing started to come back out. How good I am technically started to come back out, and yeah, it just started to get progressively better from that point. But at the start, no, it was probably the hardest 3-4 months of training I've ever done.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. Yeah, and like after that, Zoe, when you won the elites, and you mentioned the other gold medals you won around that time when you originally came back, when did you kind of make the decision to say, right, let's give the professionals a crack?
When I won the gold medal in Haringey Box Cup in June. So I won the whole gold medal in Haringey Box Cup in June. Like, I think it was like the 18th of June, I think it was. And I then came home and I looked into turning pro. See, I was under this illusion that you had to win an Olympic gold medal or you had to win a world medal or whatever to be able to turn pro.
Yeah.
And then when I found out how easy it was to get a coach and turn over, but I literally studied it from, I'd say it was June until I decided to turn over in September. I did all the research I could do and obviously looked into the best manager and best coach, and that's when I found Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin Mitchell, former world title challenger and things like that over in I believe it's Essex at the minute. So when you went over there and when you turned professional and even moving abroad and things like that, a big lifestyle change.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, it was really challenging. So I moved over, I came over in September and I trained with Kevin and we did 12 weeks and I did my pro debut, and I'm not going to lie, it was probably the hardest 12 weeks of my entire life because nothing about the move and the transition was smooth sailing, and then between getting your license sorted, getting kits ready, preparation for camp, for throughout camp, a lot of noise outside the ring that can go wrong, all went wrong. And then preparations the day of my pro debut, and like a lot went wrong. If it was any other person than me, they would have quit. They would have been like, no, I'm just going to go back to a 9-to-5 job. It was the easiest option. But I just couldn't, because all the setbacks that I had, they're just going to tick in my skin for what's to come. And it makes you realise whether or not you're whether or not you're fit for this game. And I believe I am. I questioned it after my pro debut, I'm not going to lie, because so much went wrong and I was like, oh my God, it's so hard. And then I'm over in London and I'm on my own, and being on your own over there and being in camp, it's isolating and it can get depressing.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to lie, like the night before my pro debut, I was bawling my eyes out to my family. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I was so upset because it was so hard and so many things are going wrong and I didn't have the support of anybody. But I'm not joking, if I didn't have tickets sold, I would have pulled out the fight. Never in my life, anyone that knows me, have ever heard me say I don't want to get in the ring, because I firmly believe I've been made for this, because when I go into the ring, I enjoy it all the time.
Yeah.
But that one time, I hated it. I hated everything about it. If I didn't have tickets sold and it wasn't my pro debut, I would have pulled out. But I bit down on the gum shield. I got on with the fight, and that shows resilience. That shows power in itself. Even when I'm not mentally okay, I got in the ring and I still pulled the W out of the bag. So got through that, then came home, had 3 weeks home, and then I packed the bag and fully moved over in September. And I'm not going to lie, the last 5 weeks being over there has probably been the best 5 weeks of my life. And even in regards to preparation with my sport and getting ready for my second fight, and what happened on Saturday made me believe more and more that I'm actually made for this game.
Yeah, it's incredible, and it's brilliant to kind of hear even the energy in your voice when you're talking coming off that win on Saturday and kind of coming through all that and the difficulties of changing lifestyle completely, changing country, everything about it is so new and different. So to hear that it's all going so well and clearly the results are showing at the minute is really encouraging. But we're here in March 2024 at the minute. What's kind of the outlook for the rest of 2024 for Sean O'Keefe?
I'm aiming to get out, so I'm going back to London on Friday morning. I'll be straight back into camp on Monday morning. I went back to the gym on Monday. It's just the way I am. I went back with my S&C coach on Monday. I don't need days off. We'll take a week off punching because my body needs a break from the punching, all right? But straight back in S&C, myself and Kevin will be sitting down on Friday. I'm looking for a date in London. It'll be either the 20th or the 27th of April to go for an eight rounder. And to become 3-0, and then my biggest goal for this year is, and after making the noise that I made Saturday night, I want to fight for European title on the Katie Taylor card. Whether that's July, June, wherever it is, I don't really care, but that's what I want. I want to be European champion this year, and I know I'm good enough to.
Well, it's something that's very much something to get excited about for everyone here in Tipperary over the next couple of months, keeping track of your career, Sean. It's a really inspiring story, and I don't say that lightly, and it's really kind of relatable, I suppose, just kind of the setbacks you've had and how you've kind of powered through and where you're at now. So all the best for the upcoming couple of months. I'm sure we'll catch up later in the year, and you got definitely the whole of Tipperary behind you. So fair play to you, Sean, and thanks a million for joining us here on the show.
Thank you. Can I just say a big thank you to my sponsors that are involved, Comida and Peter Vaughan Engineering and Immigrant Rest and Ryan Marketing, and obviously my S&C coach, Colin Rolls, Optimize. None of this would be possible without those people. And the other thing I'd like to say, if there's any people that are out there, any company or anything that would like to get involved and sponsor, I'd really appreciate it because the help is greatly needed. And that's really it. And I really appreciate your time, and I hope the story helps, because if there's anything people can take from this sort of story, it's never too late. If there's goals or ambitions or dreams that you have and you buried them for a year or two, or you got sidetracked with something else, go back to them, because it's never too late. I'm 29 years of age and I'm doing what I love.
It's brilliant stuff, Shauna. Thanks so much for taking the time out, and we'll be keeping in touch, and we'll be keeping an eye out for what's next.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely evening.
The Sporting Edge on Tip FM, funded by Commission Naman, with the television license fee. Tipperary's Tip
FM. Yeah, I really enjoyed that chat there with Sean O'Keefe earlier in the week, and we wish her the very best luck. I think we'll all be keeping a keen eye on her progress over the next coming months. But now, as always, on a Friday evening, it's time to talk dogs with Barry Drake.
Tip FM's Greyhound Update, in association with Greyhound Racing Ireland, because this runs deep.
It's another busy weekend of greyhound racing with so much to look forward to over the course of the next couple of nights. We're going to start with the local action, of course, and starting with Clonmel Greyhound Stadium tonight, where they hold their usual racing programme, which gets underway there at 7:30. They have 10 races down for decision tonight, with some good action to look forward to over the course of the night. I'm very much looking forward to race number 9. This is an A4 contest, and I'll be keeping a close eye on trap number 4 here. Pat's the Boss, who's an interesting runner for the Michael Watch Kennels in Hospital, of course. And it's a strong running tracker and has caught the eye in previous outings, and I expect that to go very well. Keep an eye on that one. Pat's the Boss running in race number 9 there. In Clonmel tonight. Elsewhere at Clonmel tonight, you have race number 7 is another good race. Brendel Bully caught the eye in defeat on debut. That looks sure to go well for local trainer Rachel Wheeler. Expect that to be in the mix. But one that delivered a stunning winning performance recently was a greyhound called Please Buck, who's owned by John Mulcahy in Clonmel. It actually finished in front of Brindle Bully on that occasion, and that is the obvious danger. But I'm going to take a chance with trap number 6, Brindle Bully, who might be able to make the most of the draw and reverse that form. But whatever happens, they're two very promising sorts for the coming weeks and coming months. Switching our attentions to Saturday night's racing action. Now we're off to Thurles now. And they have their racing programme down for decision getting underway at 7:35. They have the Simon's Bear Clonalty A2525 stake getting underway. This is a great competition sponsored by Simon Ryan, and this carries a prize of €2,150 to the winner. So we can expect some good performances in that. And keep an eye on a greyhound in race number 7 called Too Easy, I should say. It's in the care of James Murray for the Farrow Syndicate. It delivered a 28.77 winning performance and backed that up with another good effort last time. And I think that one could take plenty of stopping in the competitions. Crescent Emily for local trainer David Flanagan, of course owned by Gabrielle Horan in Feathered, is the obvious danger there in that heat. Elsewhere, moving on to heat number 3, Highview Ben has caught the eye in 2 career outings for local trainer Porrick Campion. Expect that to take plenty of stopping there in that race. So as I said, it's a real good competition and we can expect fireworks there in Thurles on Saturday night there, and very much looking forward to keeping an eye on that competition over the course of the next couple of weeks. Mill Road Bulger is probably one of the standout selections in race number 10 for Michael Donnelly. That's taken a significant drop in class. That should take plenty of stopping. Born a Pam can also go well for Rory Dwan, but as I said, Mill Road Bulger certainly going to take plenty of stopping there in that one. Switching our attentions back to Clonmel on Sunday night, 6:29 start, usual start time there, of course, in Clonmel for their SIS racing on Sunday night. Race number 7, keep an eye on trap number 6 here, Inishkeen Penny. She's got some strong form in the book around the seaside venue in Youghal in County Cork, 13 times the winner. She has run well in Clonmel in the past, trained, as I said there, by Jake Fall, and expect her to take plenty of stopping there in race number 7. In Clonmel on Sunday night there. Elsewhere, Fireball Lucy impressed last time. That could deliver a big performance in race number 8, but it is a step up in class. You have the likes of Whoops Michael, will be expected to go well for Patrick Wells and Larry Brannigan of Carrick-on-Shore, and also Radioactive Boy, who missed a kick last time for Martin Fortune, but that should be in the mix again, and that's a competitive race to say the least. The big race in this weekend, of course, takes place in Shelburne Park. It's the second round of the €25,000 to the winner, Bresbet Easter Cup. We've seen some terrific performances in the opening round. Clona Duke is one of the bankers of the second round for me, drawn in trap number 1. I think he'll get first run on Ben's Teddy, who'll absolutely be powering home. You also have the Laddie there. This is the race of the weekend for me, but I'm going with Clona Duke, who I think can dominate from start to finish there. But Ben's Teddy, of course, is a huge player. He's one of the quickest greyhounds in the world of greyhound racing. Of course, Pat Buckley, the trainer, and Kappa White had big race success last weekend, winning the Cesarewitch at Mullingar, the €10,000 to the winner event there on Sunday, of course, with Sing Along Dolly. It really was a fantastic winning performance. So, as I said, more top class racing throughout the weekend. All eyes on the second round of the 2024 Bresbet Easter Cup. Ben's Teddy, of course, is the market leader for more big race success, of course, for Pat Buckley. He did reach the final of the Irish Greyhound Derby last year, of course, running so well in that final. So that's Shelburne Park on Saturday night, where the first gets underway there at 7:42. 12 top class races down for decision, and as I said, some great action as well on the local front.
And many thanks as always to Barry Drake there, giving us a concise rundown on all things happening in the world of greyhound racing, both here in Tipperary and further afield as well. So that's just about all we got time for this week's edition of the show. Thanks to all the guests for making the show happen, and for you, the listeners, for tuning in. The show, if you're just tuning in, will be on the Tip FM website in the next half an hour or so, or the Tip FM SoundCloud if you want to catch up. And yeah, just one game this weekend, Sunday, 4 o'clock. in O'More Park in Portlaoise with thanks to REA agents in Tipperary. It is, of course, Tipperary versus Clare in the National Hurling League semi-final. So until then, have a good weekend. And as Carol Power coming up after the 7 o'clock news, I'll be back on the airwaves come Sunday afternoon, hoping for a Tipperary win in the National Hurling League. We're going to leave it at that. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch up next Friday evening for another edition of Across the Line. Bye for now.